This is Money in Motion with Class Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Telephone number 321-1310, 321-1310 gets you on the air with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. They come to us from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number at the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. And don't forget, no charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment and conversation at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, the telephone number 442-5637. And to get on the air with CJ and Malia, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. CJ, Malia, how are you guys doing this week?
Doing great. How are you, Sean?
Doing really well. CJ, Malia, how are you?
Great. It was a beautiful sunrise this morning.
I missed it. We've got a window, and unfortunately, it doesn't, although I think maybe fortunately, it doesn't face that direction either. But it is a great day, and we've really been enjoying autumn, and we've got a great conversation ahead involving estate planning, and there's going to be a lot to it. I urge you definitely to pay close attention. Don't forget, as always, as well, if you miss part of today's program, you can always get caught up online at klossfinancial.com. Also, while you're there, you can sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a nice little snapshot of what's been going on in the markets, as well as a link to the most recent podcast. Again, that available online at klossfinancial.com. And the telephone number, 442-5637. Speaking of the number, you're going to want to make use of it a little bit later on in the program. We'll do our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a fantastic prize. This week, no exception, the folks from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Wayfair. We'll tell you how you can win that a little bit later on in the program today. But again, just pay close to the show, tip close attention to the show. Typically, both the question and answer to the Kloss Quiz Question Week come up during the program. Speaking of the Kloss Quiz Question Week, let's take a look back at last week's question and get the answer as well.
Yeah, so we're going to learn and listen what the question was last week in just a second, but I'm going to go off script for just a minute. I think one of our jobs here, as we, you know, really teach people about how to look at retirement and prepare for it, is also to keep people safe, people safe when we talk about identity theft and other things like that, just to be cautious. Well, I bring this up because yesterday I spent over an hour with on the phone with a very large bank that I had gotten a notice that an account balance was very low on my daughter's account. Mm. And I looked at it and found that in 2 days, someone extracted $9,000 from her account, which is her student loan money. And they did it in 2 days. And the bank didn't even alert us. This is a very large bank. They only alerted us the balance was low. That was it. So obviously some fraud took place, starting out with those low deposit or those low debits that you always see, you know, so these fraudsters are out there taking out $2.90. And so, I reported this, took an hour to finally get someone to really open up the case. But my point to all of our listeners is please, please, please look at your bank accounts on a regular basis, debit cards, credit cards. Just make sure you know what the flow of money should be looking like. And when you start seeing charges like $3,500 to an overseas type of place and it's not yours, you better call your bank, okay? Because they might not be calling you. So I just want people to always be in touch with their own banks and their own cash flows, okay? Mm-hmm. So again, off script, but I want to protect people.
Mm-hmm. Really good guidance.
So back to what our subject is today and what last week's was. Last week we talked about insurance, what kinds of guarantees you have, depositor insurance. And the question last week was FDIC depositor insurance for banks covers deposits for how much per investor per account. So this is kind of a timely topic. Yeah. Is it $100,000 or $250,000? And so the correct answer, congratulations to Jason of Cottage Grove. He replied with $250,000 is the guarantee today.
Fantastic program as well. If you missed any part of that program, you can always head on over to Klaas Financial's website, klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Listen back to the show. And Malia also mentioned keeping yourself safe. I know we've done some great programs in the past as well, involving steps you can take to protect yourself and, of course, keep yourself informed. Again, you can listen back to those podcasts all at klaasfinancial.com. Telephone number for Klaas Financial, 442-5637. And the number to get on the air here at the station with your question for CJ and Malia, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. And today we're discussing estate planning. But first, let's kind of get kind of the groundwork, and let's talk about how estate planning kind of intersects with financial planning.
Yeah, Malia and I have talked about estate planning in the past, and often when we bring this up, even to clients in our office, they'll say, oh, I'm not wealthy enough for one of those things. Because when we hear estate, I don't know if it's from movies or what it is, but we just tend to think of this big sprawling property with, you know, for multimillionaires. And truth be told, every American has an estate. So yes, you listening to me right now on the radio, you have an estate, no matter how large or how small. And so the whole idea of estate planning is the concept of what happens to your stuff, right? And somebody goes, I don't have much. I go, well, what happens to your bike, right? What happens to your car? What happens to your checking account, your savings account, whatever it might be, all this stuff that you've accumulated over time, or loved ones who are minors, right? So what happens when you die or become incapacitated? So that's the concept of what estate planning is. And we believe as financial planners that we should act like a quarterback of your financial team. However, if you use that kind of football analogy of a quarterback does not play every position, right? Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, these are some of the greatest quarterbacks of all times. But if you put them out to be a running back or a wide receiver or a lineman, they'd be terrible. And so in a similar way, we are not the expert in all areas, but we're very involved in every financial play on your financial team. So your planner, your financial planner needs to be in tune with and interact in all areas of your personal financial life, including, but this is not a limited list, but including investments, estate planning, which is wills or trust, your taxes, which could be your tax return or accounting, and your insurance, which would be life, long-term care, and health insurance. So we believe that your financial planner should be quarterbacking all of those financial components. Notice I didn't say implementing. So often your financial planner will refer you out to an estate planning attorney, or refer you out to an accountant or CPA, or refer you out to an insurance agent. But we do believe that you should consistently review your financial and estate plans because, of course, as life changes, you need to make sure that your goals and your portfolio are working together with those changes. Of course, there's many benefits of partnering with advisors or quarterbacks who can focus on your entire financial plan and perhaps even fix some areas where you may be a little bit weak. This is where sometimes estate planning can come into play, as many people have perhaps barely even begun this, and they need to think about getting a will or a trust in place. Now, interestingly enough, with regards to estate planning, we did see a rise in the number of young adults, 18 to 34, who decided to get a will written since COVID hit our shores. And as a result, in 2021, this group, for the first time, is more likely to have a will than actually 35 to 54-year-old Americans. However, not every demographic has taken this lesson to heart. As a matter of fact, a 2020 Gallup poll showed that still only about 45% of American adults say they have a will in place, which means if you're listening to me right now, it is a higher probability that you do not have a will or a trust in place than that you do not. And the problem is with this, if you don't have a will, then the state of Wisconsin that you live in, or the state of Illinois, wherever you live and you're listening to me, good news is they've written a will for you. Bad news is it doesn't say what you want it to. And so and people go, what do you mean they wrote a will for me? I go, well, you didn't write it. So what are they supposed to do? Right? What are they going to do with all your stuff? So long story short is you do not want your stuff or your minor children to be going by way of default. You want to make those choices in writing.
We're gonna have
Oh, go ahead, Sean.
No, I was going to say, and we're gonna get into great detail as we go on. What were you going to mention there, CJ?
Well, no, there's another interesting quick stat. Caring.com's 2021 Wills and Estate Planning Study found that middle and older age adults are actually less likely now to have a will than they were just 1 year ago. So back to, there was that one little bright spot of young adults. Well, overall, Americans have become no more likely through the pandemic, which we think is a bit of an atrocity. We want to see that number come up over time.
It's important, and we're going to continue our conversation about that. We'll break down some of the basic differences, wills, trusts, of course, estate planning. We'll get into all those areas. And, of course, take your question as well for CJ and Malia. We'd love to hear from this morning at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. The website for Klaas Financial, klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 442-5637. We'll take your call next and continue our conversation with CJ and Malia as Money in Motion continues here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Klaas Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Talking with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Klaas and Malia Cuevas. They come to us from Klaas Financial, the website klaasfinancial.com, and their telephone number 442-5637. No charge to you for that first initial conversation, that initial appointment at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary. Again, their number 442-5637. And to get on the air with Malia and CJ, love to hear from you this morning at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Talking estate planning this week and how it intersects with financial planning. And let's talk about the importance of a will. And I think a lot of folks, as CJ, you kind of illustrated earlier as well, about people think of things like estate planning. And they think, oh, I've got a big estate. I don't have those type of things. I don't need it. And I think sometimes people also wonder is, does everyone need a will, Malia?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And we understand people are trying to run their lives and do other things besides think about, you know, estate planning and investments all day. But this is really, truly a neglected area that people don't look at. So again, as CJ said, we're not estate planning attorneys, but we do work with attorneys almost every day to coordinate these plans for our clients. So please, please, please consult your attorney for what makes sense for your own situation. So as CJ mentioned, you know, again, that word estate just sounds like, oh my gosh, millions of dollars. Estate planning, conversely, people think, okay, so you just have to have sizable wealth. And they also think estate planning is just about wills and trusts. So we'll go into the other aspects of estate planning besides those in just a few minutes. We want to shed some light on this. And so it is clear to us that almost everyone upon their death has likely accumulated some assets. It could be investments, real estate, or other real property. And it really is important that upon your death that those detailed instructions as to how you wish the remaining assets to be distributed, how that should happen. Now, we do get both sides of the camp. One camp says, I'm dying. It doesn't matter. I don't care where it ends up. We really hear that. And the other people are like, wow, I want to make sure I can instruct it to the last, you know, to the last degree in the form of a trust, even if I'm not here, for, you know, over a period of time into the future. So we do have both camps, but we want people to understand you certainly have a choice in this. So the instructions ideally will be specified in either a will or a trust. So hence, estate planning is for anyone, which is almost everyone, who owns or possesses things of value. And remember, if you don't have instructions, as CJ mentioned, the state that you live in does have those. And so that's what's called dying in intestate, which means you've died without directions. So again, the state's going to dictate where your property is going to be divided and distributed, which may not be how you wished it to be done. And it is remarkable how upon a death, people come out of the woodworks. There may have been estranged children from a prior marriage. There could just be Uncle Joe from, you know, the other side of your town that shows up and says, I want to lay claim to this. It happens all the time. So I believe you've worked your whole life to create these assets or accumulate these assets. You may want to have some, you know, decision making behind what happens if you're no longer here. So there are basic differences between trusts and wills, but both are very useful depending on your own situation. So things to remember, a will goes into effect only after you die. So it's really, really important to understand that. But a trust takes effect as soon as you create it. Okay, so it directs who will receive your property at your death, and it appoints a legal representative to carry out your wishes. So that's what a will do. A trust can be used for to begin distributing property either before death, at death, or afterwards. And it's a legal arrangement through which one person or an institution such as a bank or a law firm called a trustee actually holds legal title to property for another person. So trust, I think the key thing to know here, and people hear this quite often, is that a trust can help you avoid probate. That's probably the reason we see them used in many, many circumstances. Because that word probate, again, these are things that scare people because they don't understand. Probate's simply the process, the legal process that takes place after someone dies in order to prove the deceased's last will and testament and carry out their wishes that have been established. So if you have named beneficiaries and you have a trust in place, many times your estate can avoid this probate process, which again shows up in court. So the biggest reason people want to avoid probate is that it can get costly. It can take a lot of time. And we've seen, you know, when we talk about how long could it take, we've seen it take a few months and we've seen it take a few years. So if we have named beneficiaries and we have instructions via named beneficiaries or via a trust, we can oftentimes avoid that. So, and then when you say the cost of probate, you know, opening this up in a courtroom, so to speak, the longer it takes, the more expensive it is. And we've seen estates pay out between 3% and 5% of the estate because it takes a long time to settle it. So cost of probate is dependent on the complexity of the case. So it might not be your situation, but we do see it can get run pretty expensive. In Wisconsin, the average probate is about 4% to 5%, we've seen, with attorney fees being half. I mean, someone's going to decide how your estate is divided. And if you have not taken the time now, the steps now, then it will be decided for you. So the final thing I want to mention is please review your beneficiary designations. So many times when people don't realize this is that your beneficiary designations that you put on specific accounts can trump whatever your will or even your trust says. So that is key. Constantly, you know, at least once a year, kind of review that and make sure it says what you want it to say.
Really important stuff there to keep in mind and remember. And of course, we talk with CJ and Malia. If you ever have questions, phone lines are open to you at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. CJ and Malia would love to help you out this morning. You can learn more as well online, klossfinancial.com. And their telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, their number, 442-5637. We'll talk three letters, POA. What does that mean? How does that apply? We'll get the details from CJ and Malia next as Money in Motion continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Talking this morning with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, and we go over to the phones and Ken joins us. Ken, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas of Kloss Financial.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have two life insurance policies. One lists my wife as the beneficiary. The other one lists my children as the beneficiary. My wife is not my children's mother. And I just turned 66. And so I think that my maximum benefit for Social Security will be here at the end of October, first part of November. And then back to the estate thing, anything that I have other than those life insurance policies would automatically go to my wife, wouldn't it?
Good question. Anything you have besides those life insurance policies would go automatically to your wife. No. No, it depends on beneficiary designation. So I'm tracking the logic of the life insurance policies. One has your wife, one has your children. Mm-hmm. But no, beneficiary designation, say on a 401k, Ken, or on an IRA, whatever your beneficiary designations are, is what will occur. So
right.
This actually, go ahead.
What I meant was personal property and so on.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think what I hear you asking is, do I really need a will given that it's going to all go to my wife anyways? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes.
You need a will. Mm-hmm. My comment to you would be, I would absolutely not leave that up to default provisions of the state. I absolutely would not.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would, even if it's just getting a super, super, super basic will, spend $100 and it'll be the best $100 you've ever spent in your life. But given that it sounds like it's a second marriage, I would not leave any of that to chance.
Ken, great question this morning. Let's go now to Gary. Gary, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas of Kloss Financial.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Quick question. My wife and I have a revocable trust. Do we need to name beneficiaries on our bank account for the revocable trust?
Ah, such a great question. So typically your attorney, let me just back up. You're asking a really great question, but our listeners need to understand something. So a revocable trust, again, it becomes active upon creation, whereas a will becomes active upon death. So the revocable trust that you created is active now, but you have to fund a revocable trust, meaning you have to title assets in the name of that trust, or you have to list assets as beneficiary to the trust, whatever you want to have flow through the trust. So typically your attorney will, as part of creating your trust, help you put your properties into the name of the trust, but then they will give you what are called funding instructions. They'll say, now you need to go work with your other professionals to fund this trust. One of those funding mechanisms would often be a checking or savings account. They'll say, go retitle those accounts into the name of your trust. Now, sometimes people will leave their everyday checking out of it because they just don't want to have that in their trust. But any large savings accounts, any large checking accounts typically should be owned by your trust. And the reason that matters is, of course, then when you die, it doesn't have to go through what's called the pour-over will, which ends up possibly going through probate. It doesn't have to go through that because it's by the trust, and whoever the successor trustee is just steps up and takes care of things. So, no, you don't have to list beneficiaries on your checking or savings. And the reason is because you should have that account already owned by the trust. Does this make sense?
Yes. No, and all our accounts are in the revocable trust with my wife and I as the trustee.
Perfect.
Good. So basically, I really don't have to, with life insurance policies, name the trust. And can I ask you one other question? We also have an irrevocable life insurance trust.
Ah, yes.
Beneficiaries need to be named for that, or is it the irrevocable trust?
Well, so great question. I wish I could give education to all of our listeners on irrevocable trust, but that's a very sophisticated type of product, and that's great that you have it. But remember, the trust document itself lists beneficiaries. That's actually kind of the point of the trust document, is it says what happens to the assets that are owned by this trust. So think of the trust, when you say, I have a trust, what you're really saying is, I have instructions, right? I have beneficiary designations. And so when a trust owns something, you don't have to list beneficiaries outside of that because the trust itself is the beneficiary designation. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Great question, Gary. Let's go now to Richard. Richard, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas of Kloss Financial.
Hi, you guys. Hey,
hi there.
I lost my sight in a terrible automobile accident 6 years ago. And wow. I'm wondering if the money in my trust, if the state of Wisconsin will get all of my money that when I die, or can I leave that in a will?
Good question. Well, first off, my condolences to you. Wow. You lost your eyesight, you said?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you received a settlement into a trust? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
No. It was the money from my sale of my last house.
Got it.
I was going to save that money for my next house, but that was before my automobile accident. You know, so now
I gotcha.
All the money is sitting in a trust right now. So, but will the state of Wisconsin get all that money when I pass away or?
No, truth be told, I'm glad you're asking this question. I hope everybody's listening closely. So there is kind of this misnomer that if you don't have a will or a trust or if you don't have plans in place that the state takes all of your money. And that's actually not true at all. The state is rather just a facilitator of where your dollars should end up going. Mm-hmm. Now, it's true that if you don't have a will or trust, then it's going to be more expensive to settle your estate, right? So that's sometimes what people hear is, oh, it's so expensive. Well, that's true. Because again, if you don't have any description, then the state assigns a lawyer and you have to kind of go through this process. But the goal of the state is not to take all your stuff. The goal of the state is to facilitate the settlement to whoever your next of kin would be. So now, to answer your question directly, if you have money in a trust, this actually parlays into what the former gentleman just asked. I think his name was Gary. Mm-hmm. The trust itself has beneficiary language inside of it. It says, upon my death, here's the successor trustee, and here's the responsibility of that trustee to settle my estate to the following individuals or charities. So if you have your account owned by a trust, then effectively you've already established beneficiaries.
Great question.
Okay.
Great question, great Richard. Question. Thank you for the call. And we'll squeeze one more in, Kurt. Thank you for the call. What do you have for us this morning for our friends at Kloss Financial? Hello, Kurt. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks.
Hi.
We just bought a home where the mortgage people said they didn't want the house in our trust. They wanted us as joint title to the property. Should I be worried about the house not being in the trust?
Great question. So there's two, by the way, institutions they don't like the complexity of having a property owned by a trust when there is a mortgage present on it, but you should know that can be done. They just don't like it. So if you really want to push on them, you can say, I can find another vendor, because that is absolutely doable. It's just, they don't like it.
It takes extra time. That's really the issue for them.
That's right. It takes extra time and they don't want to go through the headache. Now, with that being said, it's actually fine to own it jointly very often. I shouldn't say, you need to talk to your lawyer, but from our perspective, it's usually fine to own it jointly. But in that case, you would want to list the trust as beneficiary of that property. So talk to your lawyer about this. And if your lawyer is okay with it, then you can just say, hey, I can't get the property owned, but is it okay for me to list the trust as the, you know, payable on death? And typically your lawyer will say, yeah, that's fine.
And it can always be moved after the transaction too. So you can execute the transaction and then a month later move it into the trust. It's just, again, it's all time and money and they don't want to spend the time and, you know, possibly lose out on their fees.
Kurt, great question this morning. We had so many great questions this morning. Don't forget, we do this each and every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. And of course, you can call right at start of the program if you got some for air. Or as always, the folks at Kloss Financial are here to talk. Their telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Want to hold that telephone number as well. Now it's time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I will ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Wayfair. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. According to a 2020 Gallup poll, what percentage of Americans have a will in place? Is it 45% or 70%? Telephone number 442-5637. First caller with the correct answer will win this week's prize, a $25 gift card to Wayfair. Don't forget as well that it's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. CJ, Malia, it's always great hanging out. You guys have a beautiful day.
Thanks.
Take care, guys. Kevin Clark of Make Dreams Realty, he is standing by and we'll be talking with him next year, 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.